And we're live on the Touchdowns and Tangents radio show, coming live to you from the Good News radio station in Los Angeles, California. Across the way from me is my friend and sort of enemy at the moment, Kenneth. How you doing, man?
Kenneth Frank James Barry, and fuck you very much. No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing good, but no, seriously, go screw yourself.
Yeah, man, so negative vibes all around, but it's all good because it's Thursday and tomorrow's Friday, so...
I work tomorrow. How does that help?
So, we thank you for joining us on the Good News radio station app and website. And if you're listening to this in the podcast space, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play...
Podbean.
You know, wherever you get your podcast from, we hope that we make wherever you're at, your environment... The bus, your car, you know, just kicking it at the barbershop.
In line on your lunch break. Better,
you know, a little bit better. That's the whole goal. Because we're at the cusp of greatness here, and we thank everyone for coming along for the ride.
Thank you for not making this like an The Edge of Glory Lady Gaga line, because I would have killed you for it. I'd have really killed you
for it. All right, Kenny, so since we haven't done it in a while, why don't you go ahead and tell people what this broadcast / podcast is like.
This apparatus of sound and entertainment is like when you're at work, and thankfully it goes by really quick, and the whole time you're cussing somebody out in traffic, or you're passive aggressively trying not to punch the person next to you while you're waiting on the bus, you just have that one thing that you just hone in on that makes you smile inside for a couple seconds, even though on the outside it looks like you want to murder somebody, but you just hold on to that. And it lasts you until you get home and you start your day all over again. And yeah, that's kind of like what we are.
Yeah, man. So what did you say at first? This apparatus of
sound and entertainment. Yes.
All right. I could rock with that. But yeah, so.
The sound and the fury.
So yeah, on this week's.
And journalistic integrity.
Touchdowns and Tangents show, we got hopefully a couple of special guests. For sure one, maybe two.
The phone number is 323-900-0478. Call in, have a take, and if you suck today, I'm going to roast you.
Yeah, man, because as I said before, negative vibes are all around, and it's largely because we're both pretty hangry. We didn't get a chance to eat before the show as we normally do.
That goddamn pastrami sandwich place down the street that's apparently really famous only takes cash. Like, honestly, I'm surprised I was even allowed to sit at the lunch counter.
And we're not even going to plug the name until, you know, we taste that delicious, succulent.
I don't even like pastrami. Pause. Wow. You want to tell us? You want to tell us something, Pete?
Nah, man. Why?
Pastrami is not that delicious.
No, it is for me. I love pastrami and some pickles, homemade pickles.
Okay,
you're tripping.
Okay, homemade pickles,
you're
yes.
Tripping, bro.
Homemade pickles,
first
yes.
Off, second off.
Pickle
grow
juice.
Up.
Pickle
it's
juice.
2018.
What about pickle juice?
It's 2018.
Are you on the Jay Hayahi train? No. Do you like?
All right. So let's get straight into the content.
Not gonna
answer
my question. Pickle juice is healthy for you.
Yeah, of course. I'll drink it. You know,
my sister,
I need it to balance out my stomach.
You need God to balance out your stomach, and He don't want to part that Red Sea.
Yeah, man. So we thank you for joining us on our broadcast / podcast. Hopefully, you'll learn a little bit. You'll act a little bit better, and you might laugh and learn about football.
And hopefully this acts as a conduit to expel some of the pettiness out of your day so you don't kill somebody. Because all that pent-up rage and frustration is not healthy.
So, and he's looking dead at me.
Yep.
Okay, KB, so.
Only we had, never mind, I'm not going to say it, I'll wait.
So, let's start with the topic of the day, since it kind of broke today. Reuben Foster.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. So pretty much.
Was it too late for a gun blast?
If that's what you want. I live to serve.
I mean.
I think it's more appropriate to have light.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, so pretty much.
It's a dark cloud.
Reuben Foster, the report came out. A development in his case. He was arrested a couple months ago for domestic violence charges. Turns out that he allegedly punched the female 8 to 10 times.
His girlfriend, allegedly.
And dragged her on the floor.
Yeah.
And he's facing a gang of felony charges.
He was previously facing gun charges, but I think those were like Miami kind of brushed out the way, but.
And he's facing up to 11 years in prison because it's felonies. So
not quite Ray Carruth, but really bad.
Yeah, nobody's quite Ray Carruth.
There's a couple athletes. I'm not going to say LJ, but, you know.
But I think the biggest thing and what Twitter's really reacted to is the fact that.
He's still on the Niners.
Yeah, exactly. Which is really weird. But they even released a statement saying basically we'll let the legal process play itself out and see where things go.
Hashtag.
Randy Gregory. Hashtag.
Now, Randy Gregory was just a weed head who should have stayed in school another year.
No, remember he had the domestic violence thing too? Where
I thought that was after he got cut though. Because he didn't really
No, I think that was what got him cut. Oh. And then he got the charges dismissed. And then he tried to come back.
I don't even remember his comeback. I just know he kept getting busted
for
weed. But
the whole thing why he got the charges dismissed is the victim just pulled out. So
poor choice of words.
Yeah, I thought about it as soon as I said it.
Recanted is the legal definition and what they should teach in journalism class.
So that's probably what Foster's victim will do because these sort of high profile cases, like, especially
you facing
for the
that
victim,
many charges,
bro. You know, 49ers fans,
it happened
in
Alabama too, right? Did it happen in Alabama? Because if it happened in Alabama compared to California, that's two different states,
yeah. And I don't know,
in Alabama, they kind of have a different kind of justice, if you get what I mean.
I'm not exactly sure,
I'm pretty sure it's probably Alabama because that's where all Alabama linebackers get in trouble in the offseason for some reason.
The point is.
Talking about
rich,
you.
Rich men find a way to get off, especially athletes.
But he's a black male in America. Don't forget that. And it's domestic violence charge,
okay,
and he's an Alabama linebacker. As I just said before,
there's
a lot of red
flags. I just said before, Randy Gregory got off. We've seen plenty of.
Bro, but that's different. He wasn't accused of trying to kill his girlfriend.
We've seen a lot of athletes get out of domestic violence charges.
Yes, but in this case, he already had strikes against him. He had strikes in college against him.
That's true.
His temper.
It's true.
Like, that's what I'm saying. With this dude, in particular, Reuben Foster, it's over for you in more ways than one. So it's deeper than just, oh, it's a domestic violence charge. It might get dismissed or it might get pled down. It's like, nah. They really want to keep him because they know he's going to be great. But also, it's like the same thing that makes you great is the same thing that can destroy you in the end, which is kind of sad. I just hope there's some clarity here, and whatever happens, legal system's going to have to take its course. But hopefully he changes his life and gets it together, whether he plays football ever again or not.
I think, well, actually, he's not on the commissioner's list yet. He's actually not suspended yet. He's not eligible for suspension yet.
Yeah, but, so. I mean,
but look,
it's
one
Goodell.
Point,
what's going to happen?
One point I did want to bring up is, so the 49ers have already kind of recently been down this path, and though it's completely different context, the fact is you had a linebacker who had red flags, who got in trouble, and is consistently getting in trouble. Now, it's different incidents, but what the
Alden Smith
exactly
for $1,000?
Exactly. So what I'm trying to connect is the 49ers, although they're trying to do right by standing by the legal process, are they really just enabling him to where he's not going to get the help that he needs immediately and just drawing it out is basically what I'm saying.
Here's where I split hairs here, and it's where it's a different comparison. He was an all-pro his first couple of years. He was already great, and then the problem started happening. On top of that, he had Justin Smith. He had a veteran presence. He was one of the youngest dudes on that defense.
Yeah.
This is a young team altogether.
Yep.
And you're starting over, and you have this kid who's a loose cannon. I mean, I don't think it's – in some cases, you might have the LT rule.
I guess what I'm trying to say is the 49ers didn't learn anything from all that.
No,
regardless of how you
split
hairs.
It's two different situations because one has a substance abuse problem, and the other has, like, a violence problem and just an issue of handling his business.
So the substance abuse turned into – domestic violence, which is the most recent thing that Alden got in trouble for.
He went from hurting himself to hurting other people.
Exactly. And
whereas Foster's just hurting other people.
At the moment. But who knows what it'll turn into 4 or 5 years down the line.
But that's what I'm saying.
Because when you have that sort of temper, you're variable.
Yeah. And the issue is, he could probably overcome that anger and rehabilitate his life. He may just never play football again. But he was never on the level of an Alden Smith. And that's where it kind of differs. They put up with his talent, and they also, let's be honest, if he wasn't playing next to Justin Smith, he probably would have got exposed earlier.
And I guess
because he was eating, he had, like, Smith was not just there on the field as a veteran presence and building block for that defense, but he had Harbaugh as the head coach. And that's totally different than Kyle Shanahan. No disrespect to Kyle Shanahan.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is, can you really get your life together when you're still playing football? Especially when it's a temper thing where football is a game of...
And you go too far?
Exactly. When some you don't know how to turn it on and off.
Some people can. It works. Some people change their lives around. But in this case, I don't know, man. And he's lucky he's in San Francisco, which is a pretty liberal city. So they're willing to give someone a second chance. But if it's anywhere else, I don't know, man.
The next thing I want to talk about, real topical, is, and it's something we've kind of been following around. For whatever reason, Philly just keeps coming up in our podcast. And
I think I mentioned Harold's cheesesteak somewhere in the archives.
So with that said, Meek Mill, you want to go ahead and give the synopsis on it since you're probably more read up on it than I am?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Meek Mill might be getting out of jail next week, early as Monday, according to reports. There's obviously been a lot of things that happened with his case. The judge was corrupt, yada, yada, blase, blase. That was already known. It took forever to come to light publicly. And if you really look at the fact that he was on parole, almost the past 15 years? Something he did when he was, in his teens, 18, 19, somewhere around that time. He's been on probation for a long time. And not everybody can be clean for that amount of time, even if you're not on probation. So the fact that he got pretty much thrown back in jail for a wheelie, and just there's a lot of things that happened with that case. But the big issue is New England Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, and I think somebody else. I forget who else.
I want to say it was a prosecutor or someone within the field. Might have been the mayor. It was somebody either somebody, in politics, yeah, or justice.
It was a local.
Locally.
They went to visit him in jail. Wait, the punchline's coming. It gets better. He said, I quote, pretty much, Meek Mill's a good guy. Looking at his case and everything, he really doesn't deserve to be in jail. Now, maybe it's the culture shattering, world crushing ass whooping that he got in the Super Bowl. Or maybe it's that he really looked at the Philadelphia Eagles roster from top to bottom and looked at the fact that not only were they great and they had a lot of social activism going on and they were really progressive, or maybe, I don't know, he's trying to really distance himself even further from the fact that he's allied with Trump.
Or maybe he's just being a culture vulture.
No. You didn't let me finish.
Riding the hype.
Or maybe he really has time to care about what's going on in Philly, and since most of his players are black, and somebody probably pitched it to him, for whatever reason, he's involved with this Meek Mill case. And I hope it doesn't turn into a situation where, Trump comes in and pretends the Lonzo Ball situation where he's like, I helped him get out of jail.
I'm just confused.
Lonzo's dad's like, no, you didn't.
I'm just confused because you're usually the first person to call people out for, trying to champion things that they really weren't a part of and riding waves late. So,
oh, no, he's definitely riding the wave.
I'm just confused.
It's something fishy going on. I'm just not going to jump into what it might be, but I laid out what it could possibly be. And maybe he had a revelation from that ass whooping that Philly put on when he realized, oh wait, this win galvanized the city, and NFL players more than ever are more comfortable with how progressive they are in the lives they lead. Like Chris Long stays killing people on Twitter. Like, that's one of my favorite people. He's dope. Now his brother, apparently, from certain reports or whatever, people saying he's kind of on the opposite end. He's not really as vocal. He's not that type A personality, whatever. That's cool. He's still done great stuff for the community. Now, when you look at the situation with Kraft going to meet Meek Mills, yeah, it's real sketch. It's almost as sketch as when Suge went to go visit Pac in jail.
I think the layers of it get even weirder because then...
Why is this old white dude trying to help me when he exactly. showed no interest before and you voted for Trump? Let's not forget, like, Trump don't like black people. He's a white supremacist. But
okay, then, well, before we get into all that, because we don't need to get into that.
Yeah, but it's a serious...
The thing
it's
is...
It's weird.
Yeah, Trump is on record saying him and Bob Kraft are good friends.
They
so
homies.
That's not a secret.
They
homies.
Homies.
I think it gets even weirder when you factor in
Lamar
Jackson. There exactly. Damn, Kenny's not spoiling my teases for once.
I wanted to do it, but I was like, I'll let him speak.
Since when do you not finish my sentences? That's what makes the show great.
I'll do it. Fine, then.
Do I'll you, stop. Man?
I'll do it. Fine.
All right. Anyway,
we'll do it live. Fine.
It makes it even weirder when you factor in Lamar Jackson just got an endorsement from Tom Brady on Instagram.
Well, the Patriots know something none of us don't.
And
they got vibranium in New England. Some shit going on. Like, they're progressive, but, like, they're also dastardly at times. Like, they know rules and shit from old. They probably know how to, I don't know. They know old-time rules on the rule books that nobody else knows. Like, the people who wrote the rules don't remember the shit or are dead, but somehow they know it. Like, there's just something going on in New England.
The weird thing is Lamar, I feel like, Lamar embraced it. Right?
Yeah.
He said, Tom's a goat, thanks, whatever.
And Deion Sanders said it on an Instagram post, and then Tom said, yeah, he's the goat, or he's dope.
But now I'm slowly seeing pro-Lamar Jackson propaganda come out from draft analysts two weeks ahead of the draft, when pretty much...
Everyone said his black ass is a wide receiver, because he's so great in space and he's fast. But we're mad he didn't run a 40, even though we know he's fast.
Well, it's even weirder when you factor in... He's played in the ACC, so he pretty much played against some of the top competition. And you're just now getting to his tape. Like, you're just now realizing that he's actually a good quarterback and a pocket passer, and not just the highlights you've been seeing on SportsCenter.
Bobby Petrino is a QB whisperer, and has come out and said multiple times he's really good. All he needs is a chance and the right system, and he can throw. The problem is he was the best player on his team. He would have been the best receiver and the best running back on his team if he wasn't playing quarterback. He was that great. Like, his receivers were trash.
And the two things...
I don't care if they were D1 athletes. They were trash.
And the two reasons why I'm... And the real reason why I'm linking these two stories is it's crazy to see how the Patriots really were able to shift the narrative. Whether it was in the Meek Mill case, whether it's in Lamar Jackson, it's like... Really? That's what it took? Tom Brady to endorse Lamar Jackson and Bob Kraft to endorse Meek Mill?
Yeah, there's something there. The pendulum's going to swing back and we're going to see what it was. But, yeah, with the whole Lamar Jackson situation, man, everyone knows he's done. I'm pretty sure there are teams. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys drafted Lamar and traded Dak.
No,
I'm just saying, what if?
Nah.
Realistically, Dak has not gotten better.
Well,
he's gotten worse.
It's only been 2 years, and last year was a weird year with Ezekiel Elliott.
No,
basically
he got
a game time decision for like 10 weeks.
Yeah, but he also got exposed. And Dez Bryant was there all season. Those receivers were there all season.
And we've talked about how Dez has lost a step for like 3 years.
Okay,
so,
but those receivers were there all season, and they're confident.
And I'm gonna need you. I'm gonna need you to rewind the tape.
Okay.
I'm gonna need you to
I already wanted to talk about Dez anyway, but don't sit up here and act like Dez ain't a starting wide receiver.
He is, but I'm talking about the rest of the crew, which you've been on air and slander since the beginning of time.
Cole Beasley's
on this
a
podcast.
Slot receiver.
You slandered
Terrence
him.
Williams is okay.
Slandered him.
I didn't slander
you
him.
You slandered Bryce Butler all through his career in Oakland.
I wanted the Raiders to get Bryce Butler back, but he signed a 2-year, $10 million deal with the Cardinals. So there's that. He's probably going to actually have a really good year in Arizona.
All right, so off the tangent, I want to get back to Lamar Jackson. Now, the rumors are saying that the Patriots are the favorite.
To take him?
To take him.
I'll never talk about sports again.
Don't say that, because that might actually happen.
And then I got to talk about it.
And when you really think about it, I mean.
Who better to learn from than Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
Exactly.
But no.
The just only no. reason why you really hate it is because it Patriots. Might make you a Patriot, man.
No, I'll kill you if you ever say that. Or my mama. Or my grandmother. Don't even say no shit.
I'm only saying that because it's true for me.
I'd rather you say nigga with a hard R than ever accuse me of saying that again. Oh, wait, I said that. I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry. That actually slipped out. But no, seriously. Never say that. I'll never be a Patriots fan.
Yeah, man.
In life.
Well, hopefully you're ever. Not. Hopefully you're not in the interview process for any job that you really want. All right. So let's move on to the next topic.
Oops.
Josh Rosen. He was featured in ESPN, the magazine this week. There were a lot of storylines based off the things he said. The biggest thing that jumped out to me was, like, this is actually a really smart dude. And you can tell by how he talks that he's thinking outside of the game. And people are trying to make it into a downfall.
They're trying to make him into Ryan Leaf, and I really don't personally like it because that's disrespectful to Josh Rosen. He's not Cade McNown. He's not some douchey a-hole rich kid who doesn't really care about football.
I think the thing is, he's a 20-year-old kid, and he's actually more mature
than most adults. Than most he's definitely adults. More than his head coach, his former head coach.
And I think that intimidates people as far as saying, like,
it intimidates stupid people.
You don't know shit. But no, when you actually listen to him, like if you go take the time to read the transcription of the interview, like, he talks about how his father was almost Surgeon General for Obama, and he talks about how his mom is a feminist, and then so the dude interviewing is like, oh, so you're clearly liberal, and he's like, look, man, I just try to do what's right. Like I said, my mom's a feminist. My dad was almost in the Obama campaign, but he voted for Trump. So I'm somewhere in between there. I don't know. I just try to do what I think is best. And that rubs people the wrong way.
Intelligence and articulation intimidate stupid people.
Especially when you have money, power, athleticism, and you're really the complete package.
And we could take the fact that he's white and rich out of it. Like, it's, I feel like they want him to have a certain opinion, like a certain cookie cutter appeal that most quarterbacks, like, they want him to be robotic, and he's not a robot. Like, you can't program this dude to say what you want him to say. He's going to say what he thinks and try to align it with what the overall team message is. Like, some of his teammates at UCLA who played with him in high school, Jaleel Dude being one of them, said, like, yo, he's a GOAT. I would go to bat for him at any time. He's not a bad guy. And it's like, if you look at Jim Mora, let's just talk about Jim Mora Jr. for a second.
Okay. I don't really want to slander Jim Mora Jr.
I'm not going to slander him. Because
we already talked about it last week. Like,
but
they're neighbors. They've been friends for
years.
That's
cool.
Like,
but you're not really helping his case with some of the stuff he's saying.
And I said this on last week's show, I think it was intentional.
He's a millennial? Bro, everyone in this draft is a millennial.
No, what I'm trying to say is, I think he was trying to hurt his stock to keep him out of Cleveland.
Bro, he could go to them at 4. I wouldn't want him to go to the Jets. I'd rather him go to Cleveland.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't want to play for the Jets.
I wouldn't, not with Joe Thomas retiring.
Bro, you want to go play for the Jets? Who is a better team, the Jets or the Browns?
The Browns.
Top to bottom. Top to bottom. The Jets lost everybody. They're going to be playing mostly a coverage-heavy defense. There's, like, Leonard Williams, they're really only threat defensively. They got a dude out of Georgia who's decent, but he's not, like, a sack artist. Like, the Jets don't really have much in the way of that. And if you take this guy, honestly, I think the perfect place for Josh Rosen might be Denver. And that kind of sickens me to say it because I actually am a Raiders fan. But who would better understand him than John Elway?
I think it's
the Giants. After what John Elway did to buck the trend with the NFL?
Come on. Think it's the Giants.
Because Eli would understand him too?
Exactly.
But Eli, they're trying to get Eli out of there. And New York fans are fickle. And they don't really appreciate Eli.
It's true.
And you have him and Odell Beckham Jr. Somebody's going to say that's a combustible locker room.
You're right.
If anything, I would just say draft Saquon if you're the Giants. But you haven't had a running back since Tiki. Don't play yourself.
But yeah, basically, and you know I'm a closet Bruins fan. I was never really big on Rosen. No, you're a
definite Bruins fan. I'm not going to let you back off that, bro.
I'm definitely not.
Okay. Okay.
I'm a closet Bruins fan.
All the times I've talked about USC, and you've just like played up UCLA.
I'm Bruins over UCLA. I mean, I'm Bruins over USC for sure.
How's that work for you?
But my point is, like, I really gained some admiration for him because at UCLA, it wasn't the off-field stuff that really bothered me about him. It was him being healthy, and it was him not elevating his team to win.
First off, he did elevate his team to win. His coach didn't develop talent or an offensive line.
Okay, but can you let me finish my point? Because I'm not even shitting on him.
I know, but I'm just...
What I'm saying is...
defending Josh Rosen a lot.
Exactly. You have been throughout the whole process, to be honest.
Ever since high school, I was like, this kid is going to be dope. Stop hating on him.
But the reason why I'm getting admiration for him, because he seems to really know who he is. And despite that, he still wants to be the GOAT. And I think one of the quotes that I pulled from the interview, and I'll read it.
You pulled a LeBron?
This kind of just sums up, like, where he is. Like, okay. So he says, I want to find purpose. One of the reasons I left school early is I felt like I was chasing a bunch of different things, trying to get A's in class, being good on the field, networking professional. He said, right now, I want to be the best QB that I can possibly fucking be. When the NFL decides I suck, I want to be the absolute best at the next thing in my life. So, a couple things is, number one, he realizes the game is greater. He realizes life is greater than the game, number one. Number two, he realizes that a lot of the game is out of his hands. And he understands that and respects that he can only do so much. And that's what you want in a quarterback. You want someone who's humble, relatable, and that's what you want in the face of a franchise. Someone who's humble, relatable, knows where they stand, on top of the talent that he brings, on top of him being a technician.
Because he's the best thrower of a football in this draft by far. It's not even close.
And part of that is being affluent and being able to have QB coaches your whole life, but we don't need to talk about that.
He played in Torrance.
Something most black quarterbacks don't have. But,
no black quarterback has that because they make you run for like 1,200 yards in high school and say you're a dual threat or you can play receiver or safety.
Or put you in a wing T offense.
Yeah, my high school QB actually could have been better had we not ran a wing T, but whatever.
Nice Florida accent there. I don't know what that was.
You're welcome. A man of many talents.
All right, man. So let's move into Take or Tangent. This is a game we play every week on the Touchdowns and Tangents show. Basically, how it goes is I'll read a storyline. You can either give a take, like, you have a strong opinion about it, or you can give a tangent about it. You have basically an alternative story that this kind of makes you think of, or something that people aren't really talking about. You know, just take it wherever you want to go.
We give you a premise, and you have a take or a tangent. You go on a take, or you have a long tangent about it that somehow makes sense. Don't hurt yourself, though. You can do it at home.
All right, so this easily could have been in the top part, but the Seattle Seahawks, they reached out to Colin Kaepernick. They were going to set up an interview. And, not an interview, a workout. And before said workout, they called Kaepernick and asked him, will you kneel during the national anthem? And he said, yes.
Which, ironically, this was already covered last season when he talked about it. He actually stopped kneeling, but, you know.
No, he said he will continue.
No, but I'm saying, like, remember, like, the first time around, he totally stopped. And
well, because at this point, he's like, everyone else is already doing it anyways.
Might as well get back to it.
I'm the one who started it.
I still got fresh legs.
So, give me a take or a tangent on it, KB.
Here's my tangent. On fake liberal Seattle Seahawks.
Explain Frank Clark. Explain Malik McDowell.
He rejuvenated himself. McDowell was a former five-star high school prospect who is slowly going to materialize into a lesser version.
But what I'm saying is they both have, like, serious off-field, like, violence things.
Yeah, but
and here you have Kaepernick, who's active in the community.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Trevion Boykin, who took him, like, four strikes to finally get cut by the Seahawks.
Yeah, but I'm talking about fake. Okay, let's go fake woke. That's probably better. Fake woke Seahawks. You get rid of Richard Sherman. You get rid of all the leaders in the locker room, pretty much. Because, let's be honest, Russell Wilson isn't really the alpha male that you would... Like, he's good. He's a good manager, suit and tie, say all the right things. He's a great company man. But he is not an alpha male on that team. Like, I'm pretty sure if you tried to say something slick back in the day, someone on that defense would have slapped him across the face and dared the offensive line to do something about it. And they probably wouldn't have done anything about it. Just based off how we see how many times he gets sacked a game and run for his life. So...
Can I just hop in on this tangent?
Go ahead, go ahead.
The weird thing is, though, like, as much as we've shitted on Russell Wilson pretty much his whole entire career.
Even at Wisconsin and North Carolina State, I saw what he was.
I think he's the perfect quarterback for the Seahawks semi-dynasty that they had.
A white-black dude? Black-white dude?
And hear me out. Here's why.
Culturally ambiguous? There we go. That's what he is.
Because bullies matter?
No, I'll get to Richie Incognito in a minute.
No, but what I'm saying is how you're talking about how the defense would slap him, blah, blah, blah. And what I'm saying is you're probably right, but I feel like that's definitely had an impact on who Russell Wilson is. And I feel like I don't want to say he's getting – better from it, but
he had older brothers to toughen him up, so therefore he's better for it.
Exactly. And we've seen the narrative change on him. We've seen Russell Wilson, you know, applaud him. We've seen Earl Thomas. We've seen Cam Chancellor. Michael Bennett just dropped a book where he had like a bunch of pages pretty much praising him. So it's like,
and he beat Future, let's be honest.
So like, yeah, he is this dude that we've always kind of seen him as, like a monotone Dan Patrick dude who plays quarterback.
No, he's not Dan Patrick has personality.
But
like, it's booming.
I think being on the Seahawks really has had an impact.
Some people looked at Russell like Norm MacDonald. He's cool, but after a while he gets annoying, and he's not really what you want, like your first choice, but he's still cool. But anyway, back to the whole tangent. A guy like Kaepernick, of his stature and what he's about, he's not going to stop his activism and all the stuff he works for in the community. So naturally, as a man, you're going to probably lean toward a guy like that in the locker room and know that he can still play, because he can still play. And if Russ gets hurt or throws five picks in a game or has to miss a game, and Kaepernick, all it takes is one start to lose your job. All it takes is one play to lose your job. So you put him in that locker room with the Seattle Seahawks, and team's going to be like, good. Good for him. They're going to be chatting him up, and the media's going to make him a bigger story than he actually is. And people in the Seahawks organization, mainly Pete Carroll and whoever else is Pete Carroll's cool with, GM and all that, they're going to have a narrative the same way they had a narrative to kind of shut down Marshawn Lynch. Different personalities, but same effect. Kaepernick, Lynch, both alpha males in how they conduct their business. And the fact that they want to say it's Russell's team, you're not going to bring in another alpha QB who could usurp him in a perfect world to even be a backup. Like, what's the point? You could just look to the draft and try to find something. Like, but that's not... That the fact that they decided to rescind their offer, they really never were going. They were always paying lip service. They were never going to sign Kaepernick. Because remember the first time they tried him out, they signed some trash QB. I don't even remember his name, but he's trash. And he probably knows he sucks.
I think they re-signed Trayvon Boykin.
No, I'm not. Aside from Boykin, I'm talking about they had a white QB the first time. It was a white QB. He may have played in Cleveland. Third string.
I don't know. I think it was Boykin.
No, it wasn't. Boykin was already there.
No, because they cut him for a bit. No, or his contract expired. Dude, and then
they brought in a white
up.
QB after the first time. That's what I'm saying. And nobody was like, why the hell? It wasn't Matt Flynn, but I'll look it up. But they brought in a dude who was never going
to
play.
All right, let's move on to the next topic.
Bottom line. So it's like, it's real. It's just lip service that they really don't want Kaepernick. They want him, but they know what it's going to come with. So they'd rather just say, well, at least we tried. You didn't really try. You didn't really want him. Don't even get me started on RG3 in Baltimore.
We already talked about that all last week. You can listen to last week's show if you want to hear KB on Griffin III. All right. So this is something we already alluded to a little bit earlier. Alden Smith was caught up. He actually went into, as part of his either parole or probation, I'm not exactly sure. So I don't want to, you know, slander him too much. But he basically went in for a regularly scheduled drug test and, well, he had a 0.4 blood alcohol level.
Which legally means you should be unconscious or near death. Literally. Like, that's the definition.
And that's not 0.04. We're talking about 0.4. We're talking about 40%.
To the 10th place.
We're talking about 5 times the legal limit to drive. Whatever he drank,
absinthe,
a fifth of it,
the devil's piss,
a fifth of it, he's too drunk to drive. So think about
a fourth of it.
We all know everyone's gotten behind the wheel with a little bit too much to drink.
I never have.
So just think about getting behind the wheel where you're a little bit buzzed and times that by 5. And that's where Alden Smith is
like
at.
To the point where you're about, you should be unconscious. Or you should be dead from alcohol poisoning.
He was like,
that's how drunk
he
was.
Basically double white girl wasted.
He was white girl wasted.
Times two.
On spring break. In Florida.
Worse than that.
On a flight to Cuba. That's how drunk he was.
So, do you got a take or tangent?
Here's my take. I really hope he gets help because it would be really sad to see this dude die. To see how far he fell. And the league, did they even really do much to help the guy?
They didn't. They just kind of abandoned him.
And then they would never reinstate him so he could actually get back on the field where you could see, okay, he may
not
even
be about getting back on the field, but just about getting back into the organization and, like, having people you can talk to.
Who could help him, at least. I felt like he would have grown and matured with Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin, at least off the field. Like, it's just kind of sad. They really, like, the NFL failed that dude. Like, yeah, he failed himself, but there was really not much to pick him up. It was different. It's different than the Foster situation, like we alluded to earlier. This dude was abusing himself. He had problems back to Missouri. That kind of just were either swept under the rug or Gary Pinkel. They could take care of him when he was there at Missouri.
But I mean, that's a lot of colleges. Yes. Yeah. Basically kind of how they're set up. Yeah,
man.
The
NFL failed him.
Pretty much, my take is pretty much the same as yours. I think this dude just really needs to get help. And fortunately, he's probably, I don't know what he needs because I don't really know him. So I don't know if he needs rehab.
Therapy.
I don't know if he needs jail time.
Therapy is a start. No one needs jail time when it comes to substance abuse like that. Jail time is only going to just make it worse. All that isolation. Like, he knows he's wrong. Like, when you talk to an addict and they're in jail, like, it gets to the point where they know what they did was wrong. But there's a but. And that but should be addressed through therapy. That's where you got to start. Like, he needs extensive therapy. Flush out everything, your process, just everything. It's life, childhood, all that. Because, man, he got some monsters, and I really hope he gets that straightened out. It's pretty sad.
All right, so the next one I want to talk about.
Thanks, Pete.
What?
Just really brought down the whole mood.
Yeah, man. Well, it's probably going to keep going there. So the next one is Brett Favre. He appeared on a panel about sports and head injuries this week. And basically he said he probably had thousands of concussions over his football career.
The fact that he said thousands, you know he's had hundreds of concussions because his numerical value is way off. He didn't play for a lot of his younger career with coming out of Southern Mississippi and being the backup for the Falcons. So in Green Bay, yeah, I can believe it. He played reckless. I feel like he's had definitely hundreds of concussions. Him of all people. Definitely, I would believe that. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah, man. Especially because the way he played, just reckless abandonment. He was really an Iron Man. I think he had a pretty long start streak for a minute.
Yeah, he was
like,
the Iron Man.
For, like, seasons he had.
I think it actually
is. And the way, like,
top streak.
The way he sacrificed his body, getting hit, throwing his body, like.
He's an all-time touchdowns and interceptions leader at one point.
Yeah, man. So
that's crazy.
So
he's the Ric Flair of football. And Ric Flair is the Brett Favre of wrestling. Quotables.
I just had to write out with a pause on that one. That was a good metaphor. Every once in a while, KB has a good joke or two, you know?
All the time. I spread it out.
Next one, Cordarrelle Patterson. He appeared on, I think it was Good Morning Football or Get Up Football. One of those
morning. It was Good Morning Football on NFL Network.
Oh, okay. Now you know. Interesting.
I've always known.
Uh-huh. All right. So
Nate Burleson's one of the hosts.
Yeah, he's actually pretty dope. I actually met
him. He's really dope.
So Patterson appeared. They asked him about Marquette King, his former teammate with the Raiders, fellow special teams standout. And basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, Patterson said people didn't really like King. He was like, I respected him, but for whatever reason, people didn't really like him. So you got to take our tangent because I know we've been talking about this like a lot.
Especially in the group chat. Tangent. Get off that man's nuts. Like, if it wasn't for Johnny Hecker, he really would have been, like, one of the best punters in football. He's really, like, the third best punter in football. But with special teams, you can only pick one. So, the fact that he came from a historically black college, pretty much taught himself how to punt, self-made, you know, and really earned the respect from at least his fellow punters and kickers. Like, because he progressed, he got better every year, and he really held down the Raiders when they needed it. And yeah, he was sassy and he had some swag about himself. But so what? There's plenty of running backs, quarterbacks, other guys on the team who have swag and they're trash. They're trash. I'm gonna say it again. They're trash. And I really spoke deeply into the mic just now. Like too close to the mic. They're trash. And they know who they are. And this cat was one of the best punters in football, and you don't like him because of his personality? Okay, well, did he beat anybody? Did he, you know, do black tar heroin? Did he hold anybody hostage at gunpoint? Did he punch a meter maid? Oh, no. He has an eclectic personality, and he happens to be a punter. And it's not like he was soft. Like, he actually, he had a couple fake punts, and actually ran and got a couple first downs. Like, he wasn't afraid of contact. So I think the Raiders really gave away an asset all because they don't like his personality. But it's like, you know what? Like, a guy like Patterson, I think because at times, realistically, he could be seen as a bust for where he was taken in the draft and the fact that he's never materialized into a number one receiver. But he wasn't all-pro kick returner, and honestly, he's probably going to play running back for the Patriots. Bill Belichick said, we're going to use you the way you should have always been used. So he's really going to probably get a lot of gadget plays, stuff like that, plays that actually just let him be in space. So good for him. Good for Marquette King for going to Denver. His punt average will be sky high, pun intended. And yeah, haters gonna hate. Live your best life. And he got cut, and then he got picked up immediately and got another contract. So good for him, especially as a punter. And him, Pat McAfee, they were talking like guys like that are gonna retire early anyway. So good for him.
Yeah, man. I think you pretty much touched on it, but I think there's a value to what Marquette King brings because he's not just a dude who dances after he punts. He actually does do stuff in the community, and he's visible, and he's showing he's showing people you don't have to hit someone with your head every single down.
You don't just have to shut up and play football.
To bring value to a football team or to earn a lot of money. Like, if more kids want to be a punter because of Marquette King, like, that's a win for the NFL. Like, that's a win for football culture overall, because as much as we want to shit on punters, and we know because they're off doing their own thing, they always are. The fact of the matter is, it's a design position, you get a paycheck, and you have design plays. You get to touch the football. Like, that's cool. Plus, the NFL is always trying to get rid of kickoff, but they're never trying to get rid of punt. So if you want to be a punter, go for it. That's my tangent on it, I guess.
You got a leg? Kick it. You ain't got a lot to kick it. You really don't have to lie to kick it anymore.
All right, so last one. We got a guest coming in about 9 o'clock. So I want to touch on this.
Hopefully.
Tristan Thompson, man.
It's I feel good, like this is good, a setup.
A good segue into the NBA, since our next guest is going to be an NBA guy.
I'm going on a tangent. I'm just letting you know now. Whatever your question is.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Just give me a tangent. Go ahead.
Black men don't cheat. Tristan Thompson is a black dude from Canada. American black men don't cheat. We don't. This dude's weirdo. And low-key, the girls he was with kind of look like Kardashians. So technically, if you cheat with a girl who looks kind of like your girl, as we all know, it's not really cheating. It's more of a tribute. And also, it's kind of karma, because Tristan Thompson left his ex-girlfriend while she was pregnant to be with Courtney or Khloe Kardashian. So honestly, she got what she deserved. That's karma. I don't even feel bad. That's the law of even exchange. How you get them is how you lose them.
I don't even like.
But he's horrible. He's horrible at cheating. He's an idiot.
That's where I'm going with it. Is like
you Canadian dudes. I don't know where you got your game from.
And that's where I'm at.
Stop learning. That's from where Drake, I'm at. Because clearly he's not helping.
I don't think the issue is necessarily that he cheated, because especially with powerful couples like this,
NBA players cheat. Athletes cheat on their girlfriends all the time.
We know this happens, right? And for all we know, it could be cool,
bro.
Like, they could be cool with it. For all we know, she could have given him the green light.
Athletes cheat all day.
Where it's messed up is that the world knows that your girlfriend is pregnant.
6'9".
The world knows you're 6'9".
And you play for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The world knows you're skinny and probably European designered up. So it's like,
you average 4 points a game, all eyes, and 2 rebounds a game somehow.
The point is, all eyes are on you. And you got to be less sloppy than this. If you are going to do this and live the lifestyle, and if your girl's cool with it, that's my only issue.
You never cheat at a high-priced hotel. You always go like a Airbnb or a cheap rundown motel along the highway. Not that I've done this before, but I'm just saying. Like,
we don't condone cheating, but
I don't condone cheating, but I condone being a smart
more than anything else. I don't condone making your spouse look stupid, because it's one thing.
That's lame.
It's one thing to like cheat on them, and okay, now we have something we need to work out on as far as like me and you's relationship. It's something we need to talk about, but to do that in a blatant, obvious way in front of the public eye when you're both public figures, It's just careless, stupid, and it's
frankly disrespectful.
It
makes you look weak as a man, and even if, and she's a Kardashian, so I'm assuming she probably already knew this. She probably already knew what he was doing.
Well,
NBA players, she had Lamar Odom.
And Marcellus Wiley said it this way. He's like, now you're stuck, because now what do you do? She's just had your baby, so you can't really leave her.
You better start playing better in the playoffs. That's all you can do. better dedicate the win to her.
Listen to KB sticking to sports. But what I'm saying,
that's what you do right now. You don't veer out of that. He better not even talk about what's his favorite flavor of ice cream is. Is that what you're doing with a girl? Y'all was eating ice cream? You already lost, see?
What I'm saying is,
he's doing himself.
And if he stays in the relationship, she's always going to have power over him because he cheated, he got caught, and he embarrassed her in the public eye. And she is, number one, painted as the victim, number two, painted as a saint for forgiving him.
So. And on the flip side, maybe this was his way of trying to get out the relationship.
And she probably has way more.
She got more money than
way him. More money, more pool, more fans.
She probably already knew. Above. Let's be honest. She's been building her body up to be like a baddie. Because if you go back,
what does that have to do with anything?
You got to think about it like this: all these athletes want to be with a Kardashian. Remember
what are you talking about?
For real,
I don't know what point you're trying to make.
My point is, it just feels like that's the new, like, she could get somebody better than Tristan Thompson if we're being honest. Like, think about it. She's a Kardashian. She could easily replace Tristan Thompson. Even when we find out, like, well, Tristan Thompson, you mean 7 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, Tristan Thompson? LeBron got him a fat contract, and he doesn't perform on the court.
I really don't know what point you're trying to make.
Pretty much, I'm just kind of slandering. But realistically, in the case of Khloe and him, like, she dealt with the Lamar Odom situation. So, maybe she's not even shocked. Maybe she is. All I know is athletes cheat. They always have. They always will. Especially basketball players. Like, basketball players cheat all the damn time. Can we just keep that honest? They do. So, in this case, he's stupid because he really just aired himself out. And he makes himself and his woman look bad. Like, that's just all a violation. Like, handle your business as an adult. And he didn't. I don't really care, but you just make yourself look salty as a man. Like, you expose yourself, the substance of what you are, for getting caught up like that. I don't understand it. I don't really care either.
Yeah, man, I think that's the biggest thing is, like, I don't even know why this is such a big thing. Like,
I get caught cheating on a test before that.
Like, we know this happens. I guess it's because of the whole, she's just having his baby. I guess that's what.
No, it's because she's a Kardashian. Because if she wasn't a Kardashian, no one would care. Because he left his pregnant girlfriend under the same circumstances, being with Khloe. Bottom line. But are we done talking about tabloids? I feel dirty.
Yeah, man. Pretty much.
I'm just waiting down this road.
I'm just waiting for our next guest to call in. He is a
Better give him a good intro, too.
All right. You want to give the intro?
Give him a good intro.
Yeah.
I'll give him an intro, but you know him longer than I have.
Yeah, man. So pretty
much. CSUN alum.
He's a CSUN alum. He's a Lakers beat reporter for Sports Out West.
This man has put in work like you would not believe.
Like, honestly, his portfolio is, like, all over the place.
Like, Gruden stole the name Grinder and just put his name in front of it because he was really talking about this man.
Is this what this podcast is like now? Just a hype train for CSUN alumni.
Hey man, I know how to hype. I'm just saying, you got to know how to hype people up who really do dope stuff, and they're humble. He's a humble dude, and he's, man, I would honestly just follow him. And shout out to Alex Vejor, who also, he got a new job. He's gonna be working up in Chico, doing stuff, and he just got through covering the Lakers. So shout out to him too. He's an alumni, man. We go places.
Something like that. At least we try to.
Like, we always have a side hustle. Shout out to CSUN journalism students. The ones who actually, you know, have a profile and do stuff. Not the one. Never mind. Whatever. Anyway, back to this incredibly hardworking, pioneering young man.
Yeah, man. His name is Bob Garcia. He's
is it like the fourth or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
Bob Garcia the fourth. And
shout out that man's lineage. Comes from a long line of Garcias.
At B Garcia IV Sports. And yeah, I've known him for a long time. We used to work together back in Sports Out West. We both write for Clutch Points. He actually put me on Clutch Points, so I got to give him props for that. But yeah, man, he writes a ton of news. He's been in the Laker locker room for like at least like 5 years.
Years.
Maybe even longer.
Does the damn thing.
When he tweets Bleacher Report, it's in the Bleacher Report app. When he tweets, it's on Hoops Hype. So yeah, he's kind of a big deal. And at this point, I'm just pretty much
a West Coast gym.
In the meantime, well, we might as well just set it up.
Actually, I have one. I was going to add such a take a tangent one.
Go ahead.
Landon Collins. I was going to save this for later, but I'll just say it now. So Landon Collins and Eli Apple apparently have squashed their beef.
Mm-hmm.
According to reports, he says, that's my brother now. But really, I think it's a combination of James Belcher, the new D coordinator. I think they're going to be running a 3-4 now. And they don't want to give up on a guy who obviously was a 10th pick in the draft. So what is your take or tangent on Eli Apple and Landon Collins making up after Landon Collins called Eli Apple a cancer?
I think it could be a number of things. Number one, they probably realized that the cancer was coming from the top, and it was the incompetence that they had at head coach, which we saw that by them benching basically one of the franchise's greatest quarterbacks for Geno Smith.
The greatest quarterback in franchise history. Phil Simms is not better than Eli Manning. There, I said it. Fight me.
Yeah, add him on Twitter, at Ozo Grande. So I think
it's or a corner. Pick a spot.
So I think it's a combination of that.
Pick a hand, bro.
It's a combination of that, as well as, like you said, new defensive coordinator, new regime, new season, and frankly, the Giants weren't going to move on from either of them, so they pretty much had to squash the beef. It's pretty much like,
I think they shot the fade. I think they did high school style, just shot the fade.
I think it's like when your grandma's on her deathbed and she got, you know, two sons that have been beefing for like 5 years and haven't talked to each other.
So the Koch brothers?
And she's like, yeah, y'all need to sit down because I want to see y'all make peace before this life is over.
You're arguing so, because you're the same person.
So the Giants brought them both in, sat them down at the table and were like, yo, talk it out, whatever you got to do. Hug it out, cry, whatever you guys got to do, figure it out because we need to win football games and you guys are grown-ass men. So
I know you went to Alabama and you went to Ohio State and there's some beef there, but figure it out.
And even if you guys don't like each other, like,
respect each other.
Respect each other and just, you know, maybe not leave Apple out to dry in cover two.
Yeah. Even though you don't have a real free safety yet.
Yet.
I mean, Eric Reed's out there, but Landon Collins is a better strong safety, so.
I thought Eric Reed signed with the Bengals.
That's another one. So he visited with the Bengals, and they pressed him on if he's going to take a knee or not when they have, like,
and
notorious troublemakers.
Yeah.
And low-key criminals. Adam formerly known as Pac-Man Jones, and Vontez, I sneak attack you while you're holding your child in your hand. Perfect.
Vontez PEDs. Perfect, or is that unfair?
He's going to fight you. You live, like, you're from the IE. He'll come see you. He ain't going to come all the way to Hood to try to find me. But, like, he'll be posted up at your high school waiting on you.
Yeah, you're
just because
right.
He got time this offseason.
Probably right. But, yeah, he was suspended for 4 games. So,
and, honestly, he's only stayed in the league because he does dirty shit.
Nah, he's actually pretty good.
He's good, but, like, realistically.
He hits hard. He's pretty good.
Okay, and?
He's pretty good. Take it from someone.
He's not on the level of a James Harrison.
Okay, but you've watched the Raiders for the past decade.
I don't think it would be a good idea.
No, but I'm just saying, you've seen inept linebacker play, and Vontaze Burfict is not.
I've seen that. Too much inept linebacker.
Like, he's not that. He's
good for what he is.
He's a B-minus, B-plus linebacker, somewhere in that range, depending on where
his
head is.
Still kind of slow as far as 40-wise, but apparently that doesn't matter. I still don't. Arizona State's ruined some of his players.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
speed-wise,
I'm pretty sure you could do an oral documentary on how
Arizona State's. They might sue us. Arizona State's athletic program and how they train their athletes. Why did Burfict get fat and lose all the speed that he apparently had in high school? Why did you ruin Will Sutton? Really, that's more the head coach's fault. By the way, speaking of which, we both write for FullPressCoverage.com. Did you mute me?
No, I muted myself.
Oh, I'm about to say so Pete muted himself. But yeah, so we got a couple articles up. I'm just gonna talk about mine. I got about 3 articles up that you can check out. Full Press Coverage. First one is essentially about the best fits for a linebacker for the Oakland Raiders, scheme fits, certain guys who actually, because Paul Gunther is the defensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders, for all y'all who care, and for anyone who just wants to hold onto a random fact during football season, he was the defensive coordinator for the Bengals for a minute. Before that, he was a linebackers coach. Also, he was under Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer for a long time as a defensive assistant. So, what the Cincinnati Bengals kind of like to do is with their linebackers, they more focus on having a really good pressured defensive line who can get after you. And their linebackers' main job is coverage and stopping the run. Their middle linebackers are usually between like 6'2", 6'3", 250. And fast enough. Their outside linebackers, usually one of them is really fast and is kind of a chase and space kind of player. When I say chase and space, means they can chase down plays, hold contain, make sure nothing gets behind them, as a linebacker is supposed to do. And in space just means they can play in space because they're athletic. They can cover tight ends. They can even play in the slot and cover a receiver occasionally. And that's what you got out of a guy like Manny Lawson. I don't know if he still plays for them. He used to play for the Bengals, but that dude ran like a 4.4 coming out of North Carolina State when he was teammates with Mario Edwards, who was the number one overall pick. I guess.
All right, man. Anyway. I'm tired of you stalling, so I'm just going to hop in here.
I'm not stalling. I was just running down the story.
I guess we're just going to have to call.
Shit on my story.
I guess we're just going to have to call this 2014 Forest Hill Drives, because apparently we have no features. So
I'm really upset that you keep finding ways to shit on J. Cole. When I know you didn't listen to the last 2 songs J. Cole put out, the one with Jeezy where he actually
listened to that one and it was cool.
He put in another one. He came out with another one that was really good. But anyway,
the one with Logic.
We don't talk about Logic on this podcast.
Really? Because you love J. Cole and you stand for him. And
first off, Logic and J. Cole aren't on the same level.
Okay.
Don't make me send J. Cole stands after you.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Russ, don't even. He's
because
never
you
been
clearly
on that level.
You clearly don't know your hip hop, because the only reason why Logic exists is because J. Cole signed him.
He's an offshoot.
Exactly. And because J. Cole stands have rolled for Logic. So get
everyone
out of here.
Everyone rolls for Logic, first
all
off.
Right.
Everyone rolls for everyone.
All
rolls
right,
for
I'm
Logic.
Over it.
He plays video
I'm
games.
It. I'm over it.
He's really endearing. He's kind of in the same vein as Chance the Rapper. First off, by the way,
I'm about to mute your mic.
Him and Joyner Lucas. I'll yell. I can project. So that's kind of useless. But anyway, back to what I was talking about with those articles.
Nah, man. Let's jump back into the content.
You suck. See, I actually want to break down X's and O's. And
yeah,
like, nah,
man.
How dare you? How dare you?
This isn't the show for that. You have your own platform.
Bottom line is, yeah, check out the stories I wrote on Full Press Coverage. I wrote about linebackers, defensive ends, and secondary players, and I got one coming out on running backs.
That was much better than the whole 2 minutes of radio that you just killed of, like, rambling on about
schemes and linebackers and helping people who don't know football learn some functional vocabulary
so they can
sound cool when
jargon.
They're talking at a bar.
Exactly. It was jargon to sound cool.
I'm trying to help people out. Some people don't give a damn about football, but their significant other might. And you don't want to sound stupid.
All right, so let's move into the last part of the show, or second to last part
of
the show.
Is it really, though?
Touchdown or turnover, because I don't know where Bob's at.
What if you get a call?
It's my second L. Whatever.
It's your seventh L.
Yeah, I've taken a lot of L's today.
You've taken about 14 L's in the past
week.
Pito
Camarillo.
You took L. You have two L's in your last name, so there you go.
All right, so Jarvis Landry, him and the Cleveland Browns are working on an extension.
No, it got done today.
Okay, it got done today. Landry is getting 5 years, $75 million with $47 million guaranteed. Is that a touchdown or is that a turnover?
That's a huge touchdown because really he's going to be your punt returner and slot receiver. So for what he's getting, he's essentially getting $2 million less than what Julio Jones got when he first signed his contract. And DeAndre Hopkins got $52 million, and Mike Evans got $55 million. You're going to see more of a trend of guys just wanting a fat guaranteed contract with, like, let's say $40 million in escalators. You're going to see a lot of that. That's pretty much the new standard now. And that's why these slot corners are going to get paid more, and these safeties kind of going to get asked out, which is kind of sad. Like, you're really seeing with the way the NFL's going, who's really losing out on money, and it really is safeties, in particular strong safeties. So you really got to watch how you're being used in the defense, because they'll base it off like, well, you played this amount of snaps at corner, you played this amount of snaps at blah, blah, blah. But in this case with Jarvis Landry, it's great because he deserves the money, he deserves to get paid, and that's what the market dictates right now.
I'm going to say this is a turnover because, as you've slandered him in the past before, how do you have 100 catches and not get 1,000 yards?
Number how do you one, average 9.4 yards per catch?
That's number one. And although I like him as an underneath compliment to Josh Gordon,
he's running slants and curls and flat routes all day because he runs a 4.7.
You still got Cleveland's quarterback situation, which
Tyrod Taylor,
I guess, will be cool with Tyrod Taylor for a year or two, but after that, the 5-year deal, I don't know what that's like, on top of the offensive line that they still have to address. So ultimately,
arguably he's the best slot receiver in the league. If you really,
I don't know, I don't know if you, if Cleveland has a lot of needs, and I don't know if putting $10 million to a slot receiver who doesn't average 10 yards a catch is a wise investment.
How? Well, think about it. Hugh Jackson does know how to put together an offense that's successful. He did it with the Raiders when Jason Campbell was starting, and Jason Campbell was having an MVP-esque type year before he got hurt. So he can put together an offense.
Oh, he had like 17 touchdowns. Relax. Over half a season, like
for how bad,
like
the,
let's relax.
For how bad the Raiders
relax,
were,
like
we're,
bro.
Are we really gonna pretend like that was a good Raiders team? Do you want to go back and look at that roster? That was a shitty team, and Campbell looked the best he ever looked in his whole career because he actually had an offensive coordinator and QB coach that believed in his talents. Jim Zorn, that Washington situation was terrible.
It was actually a head coach. He was head coach.
Yeah, but I'm saying still. When he was head coach and he had offensive coordinator, like they worked with him. And in this case, they're going to work with Tyrod. And Tyrod can sling it, but they also, he knows he kind of, he's, ever since Virginia Tech, he's conservative with the ball. He doesn't make mistakes. And if you have a dink and dunk offense, that's fine. For Cleveland needs something. And if they can keep a free agent like Jarvis Landry, imagine if they just pull a draft trade to get Odell Beckham Jr. They're really the only people left who can do it.
Yeah, I'm selling that. All right.
I would too, but like, who said, oh, I want to get a fat contract and go to Cleveland? All right. Their offense looks nice now.
All right, speaking of dollars, Khalil Mack says he wants $65 million in guaranteed dollars. Reggie McKenzie has been talking about the deal, and he says everything's good. Like, the parts aren't, it's not too far apart.
Wants to be a Raider
it's
for
realistic.
Life.
Yeah. So, is Khalil Mack wanting $65 million a touchdown, or is it a turnover?
That's a touchdown. For him and Aaron Donald, like, they both are setting the market. And the thing is,
and Clowney.
Clowney's not as good as either one of those guys. He was all pro, and he didn't even have 10 sacks. Don't get me started on that. He's good against the run. They're finally utilizing him like, oh, we can't just make him. He's not what Miss Whitney Merciless is. He's a pure defensive end who's great, apparently, in any scheme. Get him after the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't really understand why you're shitting on Jadeveon Clowney, because he was the number one pick in that draft. So
yeah, but he wasn't better than Khalil Mack.
And he was hurt for like 2 years. And he came onto the league.
He's not better than Khalil Mack.
I didn't say he was better than either of them. All I said was he's also setting the market, too. He's right there.
Yes, but he's setting the market underneath Khalil Mack. Think about what you're going to have to start paying guys like him and Vic Beasley. Yeah, you see what I mean? So
Vic Beasley's not in the same draft class.
Vic Beasley, still though, he's what, a year young? He came in a year later? I mean, he came in like a year later.
And he plays a different position than them.
He plays linebacker, and he's done some edge rushing. But he led the league in sacks.
All right, just continue back on.
You keep cutting me off.
Well, because you went off on.
No, but I'm telling you different players who are going to tier a certain way. Guess what? Landry isn't nowhere near the best receiver in the league, but for his value and what he is as a receiver, he got paid $47 million. So he's not as good as Odell Beckham Jr. or even, hell, other, like, a Le'Veon Bell. So,
which brings me back to my point on Clowney.
Yeah, but I'm saying guys have to – there's different markets. There's guys who are elite who have to get paid.
I understand. With Khalil. Is it a touchdown or a turnover?
I said it was a touchdown. It's a touchdown. For him – The higher the value an defensive end / edge rusher gets, the more these teams have to shell out money.
Perfect. I'm going to say it's a turnover because I don't even know why we're having this discussion. Khalil Mack should already be paid. He should already be in mandatory.
He's making $14 million.
He should already be in voluntary mini camp, satisfied, happy, and just loving life, because that's the kind of player he is. So I'm not mad at him for him trying to get his money. Like, nothing's promised. He's been an all-pro at two positions. He deserves his money. Now, for those people...
He gets double-teamed and held every play with no help.
For those people that are saying, or even just trolling, or even just speculating that the Raiders should trade Khalil Mack, now you should turn yourself over to another sport, because you can't just easily find that sort of talent. As I mentioned before, Jadeveon Clowney was selected before Khalil Mack, and as KV stated, Khalil Mack is by far a better player, because you really can't just buy the sort of player that Khalil Mack is, even if you're using draft capital. So yeah, the Raiders should make this deal happen, and hopefully they can kind of stagger it where they can give him guaranteed money, but also keep some cap space, because guess what? Amari Cooper is going to need a deal soon, and Derek Carr is going to be going on the books for $20 million. So you're potentially talking about a third of the cap tied up between those three players, which, I mean, I believe they're cornerstones, but it's hard to win when you have that much money tied up in the NFL.
But it makes it easier to flush out the roster if you're drafting right.
If you're drafting right, and that's a big if, as we know, we know that as Raiders fans.
God, it's. I feel like I should just be an NFL scout right now, because I can't be that hard. It's not that hard.
It's a lonely life.
It's a lonely life, but it's not that hard to, like, look, this guy's functional skill and technique, which will translate based off his work ethic and background, and if he busts out, it's probably because either you want him to play a different position. Like, they wanted Clowney to be a 3-4 outside linebacker, which he's never played. Like, I remember they were talking about the combine. Certain guys are just better going forward than backwards or sideways. It's like, don't fit a square peg in a round hole. In this case with Mack, he's done everything. He has a pick six. He had 15. He had 5 sacks in one game. Like, and as a rookie, he was the number one against the run amongst all edge defenders. And linebackers, too. So, it's like, what more do you want the guy to do? He can't clone himself. And he came out of Buffalo, bro. Like, he came out of Buffalo, almost beat Ohio State by himself. Pay the man his money. But I have a question for you. Knowing that Mack is going to be owed all this money, realistically, in that draft, he went first, obviously, and then they picked Carr in the second round. Touchdown or tangent. Do the Raiders regret? Did the Raiders pay Carr a little bit too much?
No.
You sure? They could have cut like $10 million off that deal to save some cap space?
No.
Oh, all right. We'll see. Because yeah, if he doesn't progress, if he doesn't get better this year,
no.
You're going to hear some whispers.
You see what Mike Glennon got paid? You see what Kirk Cousins got paid?
First off, Glennon is trash, and you see I don't know how.
Okay.
I don't even know how.
That's why I don't even know why you brought this up.
I don't
know. All right.
The Bears are dumb.
Next one on the actual game we're playing, touchdown or turnover.
Wow.
Yeah.
I said exactly. That. You didn't even stop me. You're a terrible person.
Yeah, man. Well, that's just where the show's at.
Even when you get the pastrami, like, you're still going to be a terrible person.
No, I think
we might. You're Cartman.
We might need that to, like, reset everything.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't even want a pastrami sandwich. I really don't.
All right. Next one is Color Rush uniforms are going away, or are they going away? We don't really know. What we do know is that they won't be exclusive to Thursday nights. They're going to allow teams to have more flexibility with Color Rush uniforms, as in they can have them when they want them or not have them at all.
The Titans should have Color Rush every week.
So, KB, is this a touchdown or a turnover? I'm going to go first and say it's a touchdown because nobody even watches Thursday night football, first off. Second off, those Jaguar uniforms, those Jets uniforms, those Bills uniforms. Like, there were some trash-ass uniforms.
Christmas shingles and decorations.
Like, I get what the NFL was trying to do. Like,
the Raiders ones were
They were basically trying to copy the NBA swagger with, like, town jerseys and, like,
but that's
Christmas.
Only, yeah.
And, like, but the NFL consumer is different, and the viewing experience of football is different. Like, we don't need to see bright-ass colors on the field.
The
like,
Color Rush idea is only good in college and high school football.
Exactly.
Like, bro, every, like, those Fridays when you literally are waiting, like, 3 hours before the game after you've eaten, and you got on flip-flops, the game socks, the jersey, and some basketball shorts, and you're just chilling outside the locker room, that was Color Rush. Everybody was fresh. When you get people get the spats ready, and some of them got like tennis shoes, chucks, like they got all types of different designs. That was cool, and that's why these players kind of like it, because it harkens back to like, man,
we can't lose in the alternates.
Yeah, we can't lose. You can't lose in the alternates. You can't lose with that spat job.
Yeah,
like you can't lose where this dude has retro Jordans on, but really it's just a really great tape job because that one chick who volunteered
our running back used to make it look like Chuck's.
Yeah.
Like he used
all ours did.
He used to put like white tape on the bottom of the sole and put like a little white circle and then put like little white things where the laces are. So it looks exactly like Chuck's on film. It was dope.
This one dude did that and then he rushed for like 300 yards. I was like,
my running back pretty much did the same thing too.
So it's like when you see the Color Rush, like I think Darren Lee was like, man, they're taking that away from us too. Because they know the Jets ain't getting no Color Rush because shit's ugly. No one wants to see all green.
I think the Color Rush, like,
good idea. Poorly executed.
Like
in some
you said,
areas.
It's a good idea for college.
Definitely
because
college.
Obviously.
Oregon,
like,
Boise State.
Well, because usually the names aren't on the back of a jersey. So, like, because the NCAA can't use likeness. So, it gives college fans a reason to buy new jerseys. So, from a profit standpoint, it makes sense.
Speaking of college.
But, and in the NFL, like, it's a revolving door. There's always new players. You can always buy new jerseys. There's always, fanatics have a reason to buy new jerseys.
And if you have to keep changing your color scheme, your jersey isn't iconic.
Exactly.
Cowboys don't keep.
Shout out to the Titans.
The Cowboys have variations. The Raiders have variations. The Niners have variations.
All right, and my last one. So, your boy, Michael Crabtree, and your other boy, Aqib Talib, are going to be facing each other next year. And yes, we didn't get Triple G and Canelo, but we will get Talib and Crabtree part 3?
Preseason? Knuck if you buck? Yo, what does that sound?
I don't know what's going on.
It sounded like a...
All the sounds are messed up.
God, that sounds terrible. Ooh.
Yeah, the point is, they're going the Rams. The Rams and Ravens are having joint practices, so Crabtree and Talib will be facing off in a practice setting. And
the Ravens notoriously getting
I'm sure it'll be open, and they'll have a lot of fans there. So we're all going to be waiting to see that fight. So I'm going touchdown here. This is good for the NFL. This is good for the Rams. And this is good for fans. And it's good for boxing. Let's see it.
I'm going to say.
Cue Max Kellerman, please.
I'm going to say turnover because I don't condone black-on-black violence. I also don't condone Texas-on-Texas violence. Yeah, because Aqib Talib is from Texas. Crabtree's from Texas, I think.
All right.
He's played in Texas. I just don't want to see these two cats keep going. It's Big 12 on Big 12 violence.
Maybe this is why they have so much beef. You just gave Texas, every single
Texas
reason.
Tech beat the dog shit out of Kansas.
Maybe
back
they just
in the
need
day.
To fuse and just call it a day.
Are they Vegeta and Gohan?
Maybe.
Are they reaching Super Set? I don't know, man. Like, it's weird. It's like, but Crabtree's had beef with Richard Sherman, too. So it's probably Crabtree's that's the problem. Aqib Talib wasn't snatching anybody else's chain. He was just shutting down elite receivers. And he was getting into fights because he's a hothead. But Crabtree, like, had legitimate beef, like off-the-field beef with Richard Sherman, too. So I'm going to call this one a turnover just because it doesn't help. I mean, it helps the Rams if they're going to be on Hard Knocks, but it doesn't help the Ravens because that's the only time they actually get physical.
All right.
On offense, their defense is legit.
So before we move into the ranch, do you have one that you want to give? If not, we can just move in.
It's a college football news bit. So Washington. Oh, man.
I don't know what's going on.
It's probably too loud. The Washington Huskies, Washington University, they have switched from Nike to Adidas. They've had Nike for like the past 20 years. They're going to Adidas. Schools do this all the time. CSUN switched, I think, from what? Nike or Under Armour to... Nike to Under Armour, I think. But schools switch deals like this all the time.
Not that frequently, because they usually...
It lasts 5 years or so.
Yeah, it's usually like 5 to 12 year deal.
But... touchdown or turnover... more high school athletes will be drawn to Washington because
turnover
of the
because the only reason why Washington is good is because they get California recruits and
they get Oakland recruits specifically.
And well, California is a Nike place, as is most of the West Coast.
Oregon is the birthplace of Nike. Exactly. Oregon is probably the most pissed off about this. And low-key, everyone stole their swag, and now it's not just cool to go to Oregon.
No, Washington has Under Armour.
No, they were Nike, and they're switching to Adidas.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Wow.
There you go. So, yeah.
What did I just say 5 minutes ago?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Of course you weren't. And Oregon has always had Nike. Like, it's my thing is with Nike.
Oregon and Oregon State both have Nike.
Oregon State has to have Nike because Oregon State is trash.
They both have Nike.
Yeah, but it's Oregon. So it's like... Oregon, remember, it was a rush of just elite talent going to Oregon. I mean, they still get good talent now. But, like, they had DeAnthony Thomas. Like, they had game breakers. They're not getting that same kind of talent. But you're still getting Oregon in dope gear. Chris Peterson went to Washington and elevated that program completely to the point where it's like, oh, wait. So, we're going to have... we're definitely getting drafted if we're playing defense, just because that's how he coaches. He recruits great talent on defense. But on top of that, we're going to have Adidas where the Adidas shoes, because Adidas is about to overtake Nike. They're getting close.
No,
the next couple of years, Adidas is overtaking Nike. Okay, you can look at the numbers, but I'm telling you, Adidas is coming to overtake Nike as a global brand as like basketball shoes and all that stuff goes.
Nope.
I'm telling you, it's coming.
It's not. Actually, Adidas is bigger worldwide. It always has been. And actually, Adidas has always been bigger.
But athletically, a lot of schools are switching to Adidas. That's what I'm saying. The athletic landscape, you see Nike, you have Spark, you have Under Armour. Adidas is creeping in there.
Not really.
Who has a better shoe game? Nikes or Adidas?
Not really. And here's why. And here's why I'm going to drop the mic on you.
Sneaker. This is, see, we even got sneakerhead.
Adidas has lost UCLA and Notre Dame.
UCLA is trash, bro.
And Notre Dame over the past 3 years.
Notre Dame is trash, too.
No, actually, they're not. Actually, they have win a lot of. And we're. See, here's the thing is you're talking about football, but it's the whole athletic program. So you're talking about losing UCLA basketball, which is iconic. You're talking about Notre Dame women's basketball that just won. You're talking about a lot of stuff here.
By the way, why did they ever have Under Armour? That's just not a fit for – that doesn't seem like the right fit for that school.
UCLA has Under Armour. No, Notre Dame has Under Armour.
UCLA switch?
They switched from Adidas to Under Armour.
Yeah, UCLA should have stayed with Adidas. Those powder blue.
No, because they weren't getting the cool uniforms that they wanted.
But that's the thing. Oregon or UCLA has classic basketball unis. With football, it doesn't really translate as much. Like, I think USC is on Nike now, but, like, it's just certain schools have certain fits. Like, I'm glad Georgia Tech finally got out of that terrible Russell Athletics deal. God, that's terrible. I think they went to Nike, but, like, when it comes to certain swag, like, what would you rather have? Free Adidas shoes or free Nike shoes? And Nike's shoes
free
all
Nike
look the same.
Shoes?
Really, bro?
Yeah, 100%.
Modern day?
Like, yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Not including Jordans. I'm not including Jordans.
Yeah, free Nike stuff. Free Nike Elite. You got to remember, like,
Adidas shoes?
You're talking about gear as well. Like,
I'm just talking about shoe game.
All Adidas. Okay. Put it to
Nike
you this way.
Nike has better apparel. I get it.
Put it to you
better
this
accessories.
Way. Under Armour was the original, like dry fit, all that stuff. Nike came in, made it way better, and then Adidas came in and copied it and
made it flashier.
Made it cheaper.
Yeah. But Adidas had that really dope commercial where creators create content. Nike and
that was it.
That's it.
All
they need.
All right, so let's take it out. You know what time it is. It's time for the rant. I'm going to mute my mic and let you go first.
I don't want to go first, but all right. Well. Here once again, another week. Pete was really hyped because he thought we were going to have guests. Didn't always work out like that. But today I woke up like really positive and just happy about life. And not because I'm being pettier, like towards Pete, just Pete. You know what? It's still a pretty good day. I was talking to a homie of mine because like this past week I went and did the Culver City Stairs for the first time ever. And it kicked my ass every step of the way, mostly because I'm just really out of shape and like totally winded. But I still made it up there twice. Tweaked my ankle on the way down because that's just how nerve damage works. But it's something I could see myself doing every week, and I'm gonna do every week, just to get back in the swing of working towards being fit again and all that good stuff. But this friend I was talking to from work. It's like, you know, I told him, I was like, things are going to work out. I know they are. Like, just based off, like, we went to the NFL Diversity Summit this past weekend. Shout out to the Black Engagement Network. And, you know, I got a lot of good information. Even got some leads on a couple jobs, a couple internships, see where that goes. But I'm kind of at a point in my life where it's just like, I'm already putting in the work, at least the groundwork, to just be better. So I'm kind of happy that, like, I'm not really stressing on, like, what if. I'm not really in the mindset of what if anymore. It's like, when it happens, I want to be ready. And that's what I'm really thankful for. Like, I'm just in the mindset of, like, I'm going to keep just adding more things to my plate slowly but surely. Because I know I'm closer to being ready than I am being utterly clueless about what I want to do. I'm really thankful for that. Thankful for everybody who stuck by me these past years. It's been really rough. Been through a lot of stuff. But I'd like to say in some aspects of my life, I'm the best I've ever been. And now I'm just kind of working on getting everything else right, just enhancing other parts of my life. So I would say, advice-wise, you have a talent inside you. Everyone does. But it really just matters if you attach that talent to passion. and then put in some work towards that. Because let's be honest, these jobs aren't going to be around forever. Elon Musk and them are already talking about universal income for everyone, pretty much just walking around spending money. The jobs that are here now aren't really going to exist. So you really should just find something you're passionate about and that you can make money in and that you actually are willing to put the work in for and kind of do it. Like, don't just think you're going to live your whole life in some horrible cycle of monotony and then die. Like, you really are the author of your own destiny, blah, blah, blah. I know that's mad corny, but yeah. Ending this on a positive note. Now back to the pizza, negative ass.
Yeah, man. So pretty much, I don't really have a lot to say other than you kind of just have to expect the unexpected. Like, today, as KB mentioned, I was hoping to get guests, and you know what? It didn't work out. And you know what? That's just kind of how life is. Like, things come up, things don't work out. And it's kind of crazy how the universe just kind of has like a way of humbling you. Like, no matter where you are, you can catch a body shot that you don't see coming. But I think it also kind of goes into your intuition. Like, today I woke up and I just kind of felt like things were going to go wrong. And things didn't go wrong. But that's because I had to, like, shift my attitude. Things didn't go right either, though. Well, because, like I said, the universe has a crazy way of working. And it's just about being intuitive and just trying to control the things that you control. Trying to control the things that are right in front of you. Whether it's getting fit, whether it's putting out content, whatever the case is. Just control what you control and let everything else kind of play out. That's pretty much it for me, man. This is the Touchdowns and Tangents radio show. I'm P.D. Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Fragrance Barry.
You can catch us in the podcast format on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Speaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Podbean, Podcast, Radio Republic, All the Above, iHeartRadio.
Sonos?
Sonos, yeah. Shout out to smart speaker users, man. And yeah, shout out to the Good News radio station for hosting us. You can catch us live on the app and on their website. Hopefully, we're going to get our stuff together and get our guests next week. Sorry for the false advertising, but we hope we still gave you some good content.
It's going to happen, just not when you want it to, and that's fine.
Gave you some takes, give you some tangents, give you some things to think about, give you some football news to talk about, because guess what? Our archives don't lie. This is the Touchdowns and Tangents show.
This is the soundtrack. This podcast is probably on your is the soundtrack to a barbershop playlist. There, I said it.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.